With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Jason Burmess on today's News Talk. TNT.
The truth is the truth. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But in 2024, it's taken on an entire meaning that it was never intended to. Groupthink, or narratives that can be agreed upon, are what is being pushed by the mainstream media, the political class, and much more. And let me articulate that a little bit better for everybody. The truth is the truth no matter what, as in there is one truth. We are not talking about religious beliefs. We are talking about subjective, okay, and objective reality. And when we go to objective reality that is witnessed and can be verified, that is an example of the truth. Now, whether one person believes that truth occurred, or a billion people, or 8 billion people, believe that truth occurred, it is in fact the truth. However, we now live in a time where it is being promoted and people are trying to get you to accept that people's versions of the truth in power need to be personified by the masses and anything else needs to be censored. This is very, very dangerous. And this is perception versus reality. We talked about this in the beginning yesterday, but we're going to take it a little bit further. I had a conversation with the author of Next Gen Marxism. His name is Mike Gonzalez, Heritage Foundation guy. Really smart guy. And we started talking about Google. And I had posited that by this time, it is no longer Chinese style censorship. I did another Google search yesterday that I was just blown away about the results. And even in my quest to find specific documents that WikiLeaks had put out by the CDC, it was extremely difficult. I went to another search engine that's supposed to be less superior. First results. All right. So I said this to him and he goes, you know, I'll never forget. He goes, about 10 years ago, it was me. And he goes, because I talked to him. I'd made a reference to Karl Rove and some other people. He said some other names that you would know. We were sitting there with a very powerful guy at Google. And he said that the truth is essentially when the majority of the people can agree upon something. And I said that was very Rovian because during the second Bush administration, there was a high level individual that had set it off the record to, I think it was a New York Times journalist that eventually gave up Karl Rove's name. And basically that says, we create reality. Okay. And then that was appalling to people and it should be. And I got a big laugh out of Mike and he's like, exactly. No, there is no truth by association. He goes, either it's the truth or it is not. That's not where we're at. You know, we covered that NPR story and we're going to go into much more depth into the CEO and her TED Talks and literally on tape at one of those lovely Atlantic Council. I love how Zoom meetings have become normalized. I'm going to use the terminology the kids use. They've normalized Zoom meetings. Okay. And she says the largest obstacle, this is the CEO of NPR, everybody, is the First Amendment. But then she says she's very happy that the corporations and social media platforms have the First Amendment to curate your content and censor you. And I want people to think about that because they can't be sued. See how that works? See, you don't get free speech. They get free speech. Truth doesn't matter anymore. It's the reality they want to put on the rest of us. I am going to posit the truth is always going to matter because ultimately, and I'll say this right now, love is the ultimate truth and truth, no matter how hard it is to say to others, is the ultimate love. And these guys are nothing but hate and lies on all sides. That being said, if you want a weekend of truth, we got a festival for you. If you would like to see all your favorite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend, then listen up. The Weekend Truth Festival will feature speakers such as Katie Hopkins, Katie Shermani, Dolores Cahill, Matt Letizier, Mark Atwood, David Clues, Allegedly Dave, Sovereign Pete, and many others. All of this across one weekend on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th in May. in Workington near the Lake District in the UK. All you need to bring is a tent, a sleeping bag, and some good vibes. Love those good vibes. As food stalls, workshops, bushcraft, and amenities will also be provided on site. For more information and how to find out to reserve your place in the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk, weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. But don't hang around because only a limited number of places are still available. We are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to get into the headlines and bring the ruckus with Adam Clark.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Wednesday, the U.S. Senate voted to dismiss the two articles of impeachment against Democratic Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Oh, man, Homeland Security, the worst. And if anybody thought this was going to go through, I don't know what to tell you. Infuriating Republicans who were hoping that a lengthy Senate trial could bring a much needed attention to the Biden administration's terrible record on immigration and border security. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. The Ruckus. What have you, sir? I thought we're bringing down the deep state and the bad guys.
Well, yeah, that whole notion got shut down pretty quick, Jason, I believe about 3 hours after the whole thing began. Dismissed. This was done in party line votes, basically. This is after vocal objections by Senate Republicans who said not allowing the impeachment to go to a full trial flouted the Constitution and long-held precedent. It is, as the Epoch Times, I believe, here reports it, the first time in history that the upper chamber has moved to dispose of a trial before allowing the impeachment articles to be heard and votes on whether to convict or acquit. Wow, talk about bulletproof, Mr. Mayorkas. Back in February, of course, House Republicans voted to impeach Mr. Mayorkas over his handling of the border crisis. Handling? What is that? That's the wrong use of that word, in my opinion. Anyways, this, of course, is a crisis. It has seen more than 8 million illegal immigrants enter the country since President Joe Biden took office. And by took office, some of us really mean he took office. You see what I did there? The first impeachment article accused Mr. Mayorkas of refusing to enforce immigration laws, and the second article charged him with breaching public trust and making false statements to Congress. Pretty serious allegations. Shortly after, all 100 senators were sworn in as jurors for the very short proceeding here, the trial, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat from New York, raised points of order to effectively dismiss each of the two articles of impeachment against Mr. Mayorkas on the grounds that they were unconstitutional. The impeachment articles, Mr. Schumer contended, did not meet the threshold of, quote, high crimes and misdemeanors, end quote, required under the Constitution. Mr. Schumer has previously described Mr. Mayorkas' impeachment as a sham, an awful precedent for Congress, and a result of a, quote, policy disagreement, end quote. The Senate voted, as I indicated, along party lines, 51-48 to dismiss the first impeachment article. And you probably heard reported a number of times already that the good Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican from Alaska, voted present. The chamber later voted on party lines, 51-49, to dismiss the second article of impeachment. So didn't get very far. Senate Republicans raised a series of motions to thwart Mr. Schumer's moves. They argued that the Constitution required a full impeachment trial. Each of those attempts was defeated in party line votes. Senator Eric Schmidt, Republican from Missouri, said the Senate majority leader was, quote, setting our Constitution ablaze and bulldozing 200 years of precedent, end quote. Mr. Schumer, according to Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from my state, Texas, is putting forth a, quote, vote on political expediency, end quote. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, said, quote, history will not judge this moment well, end quote. Senate Minority Whip John Thune, Republican from South Dakota, said that President Joe Biden and Mr. Mayorkas' policies have led to, quote, the worst border crisis in American history, end quote. He noted that 357 of the 7.6 million illegal aliens that have been apprehended during the Biden administration are on the terrorist watch list. The Senate had a responsibility to hear the impeachment articles, according to Mr. Thune. And of course, the DHS are happy to hear this. They welcomed the Senate's dismissal. They claimed it, quote, proves definitively that there was no evidence or constitutional grounds to justify impeachment. A department spokesperson said, quote, it's time for congressional Republicans to support the department's vital mission instead of wasting time playing political games and standing in the way of common sense bipartisan border reforms, end quote. Well, now that we're done with this clown show, Jason, I'm glad to hear that we're finally going to fix things, right? What do you think about all this?
All right, let's start where no one else in mainstream or alternative media is going to start, with the fact that Homeland Security shouldn't exist in the first place. Let's start at that level. No one's going to tell you this, but it is a bureaucracy that went beyond the National Security Agency to spy on American citizens and go outside the Constitution. It is Deutschland Security, based on an event that we were lied to about, okay? And a lot of people won't say that to you, but we had Border Patrol before. We let the states deal with the issue. And guess what? We didn't have the type of immigration problems we have now. Now, let's talk about the charges against this guy, okay? First of all, high crimes and misdemeanors. This is open and arrogant treason. This is not just enabling, but encouraging people to come into the country illegally and then literally going, "Whoa!" Like every time I, "Whoa!" They're like, "What do you mean?" Like for years, they said it wasn't happening. And then when it got to the level where they were just flying people around, giving out cards, and it hit middle America, and people are taking snapshots and putting it live on their social media, it's like, well, we've got to do something about this crisis. All of a sudden, there was a crisis they didn't know what to do about. And since we don't have a president of the United States that's conscious, and there's a certain side of the political spectrum that refuses to embark in anything close to reality, we are now in this current situation. So let me bring it back to reality. We need to get rid of the Homeland Security Department in full, the fusion centers, signature reduction. We do need to have a border and real immigration. I know a lot of people are going to be against mass deportation, but let's be honest. These people being on a terrorist watch list, I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if those are political dissidents. I don't know if those are cartel members, low-level drug dealers, multiple criminals, if they have the wrong political affiliation. I don't know what that means anymore. So, you know, obviously those people are going to be contested to leave the country. And then a bunch of others are going to have to leave the country. But guess what? That's imagination land. We've never had mass deportation in this country. And guess what? We've also never had accountability at an administrative level like this in my lifetime. Okay, we used to have a judicial, executive, and legislative. That's gone, man. Again, not since Iran-Contra has a high-level administrative official gone to jail and actually been convicted of these crimes. They sure tried to do it to Trump, and they're trying to do it now to Trump after the fact as he's running for president. So once again, unprecedented times, but I will say this, Adam. If you thought that trust the plan, all you trust the plan guys, yeah. You don't trust anybody, and there is no plan except for to oppress you and take you down. So we better wake up to this, Adam.
Yeah, I'm going to pay close attention to what Trump has to say about this, because he might make it one of his campaign promises to lock him up. And that's fine, as long as once he becomes president, instead of not locking him up, he says, we owe him a great debt of gratitude, like he did the last time somebody was guilty of treason. Anyway, this is a serious issue. It's a problem. But the bigger problem, as you indicated, is the fact that this place even exists. What on earth would we do without them? Well, we'd probably be better off, number one. And I might point out that we did do without them. They did not exist until fairly recently in history. So we were doing just fine without them. And I would imagine we could do fine without them again.
And not only that, you know, I'm glad that you did the lock her up chant, because Trump also said a few other things like, love the WikiLeaks. Can't get enough of the WikiLeaks. Have you seen the WikiLeaks? All of a sudden, he didn't know much about Assange. Remember that one time, one journalist asked, like, you know, I don't know much about that. Enough of that. We need accountability on all sides. I'm sick of being treated like a child on the issues that matter, Adam. And guess what? This is an issue that absolutely matters. Mayorkas is as dirty as they come, but it's, again, it's our fault. This is a government formed by the people. We've allowed this on a national level for so long that the predator class thinks, hey, it's a techno-fascist wonder world for us, and we're about to take them out to dry to 15-minute cities, bug-eating, printed food living, and carbon tax wheeling and dealing. Adam, we will see you in the second hour, as always. Thanks for the update. It's not just the UN. It's not just the WHO. Our government sucks too. I just illustrated that with Homeland Security. Well, on the other side of this break, we're going to be talking about the U.S. government Global Health Security Strategy 2024. You're not going to like it, and you shouldn't. Back after this with more TNT Radio Live.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Internet. A stream online.
TNTRadio.live. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
It is time to talk global health security, and joining me to do so is Josh Walkos. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, people get caught up in the Klaus Nutschwabs of the world and the World Economic Forum, but they often don't look from within, especially in this country. And I think that's really the first place people need to start, because the infrastructure for the global security state, you know, not just the surveillance state, but the surveillance state going under your skin, has been here for a while, and it continues to expand. And we've got this new Global Health Security Strategy 2024. So tell us how you came across it and why we should be paying attention to it.
I came across it because I saw the White House announced it, and then there was a 64-page report that came with it. And I've been aware that this has been something they've had since, I think, 2014, and every 5 years they release a new report. But what really caught my eye about it was just how much they've sort of upped the stakes with this new one. And when thinking about the new pandemic tree they're trying to do with the World Health Organization, it got me thinking, like, okay, this is a lot more important than maybe people are giving it credit for, because there is pushback with this pandemic treaty that's occurring, and it looks like it might not go through. There's, you know, fingers crossed, but they're going to have a backup plan, right? It's not as if they're just going to say, oh, you got us, the pandemic treaty is not going to happen, so we're just going to, you know, lay down our arms. So when you start reading through this report, you see that it parallels a lot of the language with the World Health Organization, the UN, stakeholder capitalism, private partnerships, One Health, that all those catchphrases are all wrapped up into it. And that really kind of, you know, piqued my attention, because it just seems like this is just either a plan B or plan. It's one of the plan B or plan A. Either way, it's a backup plan at the very least in case this doesn't happen how they want it to happen with the pandemic treaty.
So let's talk about that. The Renesian slogans that they continually use are grouped together because, like you said, I don't know that it's even a backup plan. It's the eventual security state. And this is the problem where I have with most media, especially when they try to take a side in team baseball. Oh, we're all conservative or we're right wing and we don't want to talk to the left wing and et cetera. It's Johnny nonsense. Okay. That's not really how it works. You look at this thing. And they've had the infrastructure for a long time. You said a decade, right? They continually fund it. And one side from, you know, the whole COVID-1984 experience will still go with lab leak China. It's only China. We're working with the evil people in the West in the World Economic Forum. Well, no. I mean, we know from EcoHealth Alliance. We know from DARPA that this is a militarized operation that goes beyond the nation state. And I don't think it was a leak at all. Looking at it from that perspective, then all of a sudden it's a different ballgame. And a lot of people don't want to look at it that perspective because they like to point to evil China, but they don't realize how embedded in this entire system they've been with our world leaders and our military industrial complex. And then the other aspect of that, I mean, this is a big part of that military industrial complex. And it's the baseline thing, everybody. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Once something is militarized, they have no reason to tell you the truth. They don't have to tell you the truth. It's inbuilt. There's a classification system and a need to know basis that is inbuilt to the system. And that's why once you saw that the virus was not zoonotic, and for instance, that the clarifying moment for me, when it was enough people came out and said that there was an HIV protein strain in it, a 12 sequence DNA nucleotide. Well, that didn't scream natural coronavirus. And that was the nail in the coffin. Right? So yes. Now a bioweapon has been released. We can't use that term or you get banned. You're treated like a child online. This is a cool, like you said, stakeholders and partnerships. This goes beyond China. And I'm sorry, the WEF is just a talking head for this to put it into place. The real system is within the depths of our own military industrial complex, which has gone global, in my opinion, Josh.
Another thing that caught my attention whenever they kind of lay out the agencies that are going to be involved, which are every single agency within the United States that you can think of. But the main ones, HHS, are going to be taking point, and also USAID, which all we all know is basically a CIA cutout that's been in operation for years and years. So they're taking a point on this. And then I came across the video. I published this on my Twitter, clipped it together. It's about an hour talk at the Center for Strategic in international studies, which is a big national security think tank. It had Julie Gerberding, okay? Then it had also Stephanie Sacki, who is, the former press secretary's sister, okay? So she's in charge of this global health initiative, essentially the spokesperson, figurehead for them. And they're talking about, you know, when the next pandemic is going to become coming. They're saying, we know it's not going to be another 100 years. They're actually talking about it with certainty and about how they need to bring in all these other stakeholders and in private public partnerships and countries together in order to implement this plan and implement surveillance and all this stuff. So, you know, like you said, this is something that's been in place for years and years and years. They're just basically shoring everything up, putting $30 billion towards this, which is what they're looking for over the next 5 years. Who knows how much they're going to actually spend on it. But it seems to me like you said, there was a bioweapon released. They're just preparing us and putting the infrastructure in place. So if there's a global security agenda for health, why didn't they stop the last one or the last several, right? So, you know, they're not doing their job, obviously. It's not money well spent. All they're doing is putting things in place in order to establish dominance whenever they do roll out whatever the next crisis is going to be, whether that's another coronavirus or monkeypox, you name it, whatever they want to say that's going out there in order to create fear and panic within society.
And they have created that fear and panic, unfortunately. And, you know, I see this new narrative building. First, the lab leak narrative was always the alternative narrative, right? And it's not a real narrative. Again, and I bring this up often, and a lot of people will concede on this now, but the virus was clearly in the United States in September or October prior. Now, let that sink. That means that lab leak in January or December, that's not real. All right. It's already in the United States months before. Again, look at the actual flu numbers. Look at the popcorn lung phenomenon of young people being hospitalized with vapes that never happened since. Right. And then look at the actual evidence of the virus that now people have documented and the cases prior to that. So, again, they are lying about that part. So I was with somebody that was trying to blame a lot of the policies. They recently put out a film on Birx. Right. And she's definitely had her role in part. But then I brought up the fact, and again, this is a plan that has been put on paper for a very long time, that in 2009, in May of 2009, May 20th, actually, if anybody wants to go look it up, when I was on InfoWars, I started reading, WikiLeaks had put out a document called, I'm reading it right now, the Day of Planning for H1N1 Vaccination Campaign. This is a CDC document. It was masks. It was quarantines. It was lockdowns. It was the same partnership. It was 4.9 billion shots. It was multiple shots. This all happened beforehand, and they put it on paper with that same organization that gave us all these recommendations that became into authoritarian rule by dictate, not law, authoritarian rule by dictate. And then their offer up was another thing, mRNA developed by DARPA, the military industrial complex, that didn't have to and didn't tell you the truth in the first place. We're going to keep talking about it with Josh Walkos. Great conversation. We're going to hit the headlines. Stay tuned. More TNT Radio Live after this.
News.
There is a difference.
What's on the schedule for today?
A little less yappity yap and a little more
news.
Yay.
Now, TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. During a congressional hearing on April 17th, National Guard whistleblowers testified that former Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy provided false information about his interactions with the D.C. National Guard during the January 6, 2021 Capitol breach. On April 16th, the U.S. House of Representatives Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic issued a subpoena to Dr. David Morenz, a longtime advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
We are talking pandemic preparedness, past, present, and future. And I went on a little bit of a tirade there before the break. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Because obviously the preparation was there across the board and the deception was start to finish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned the 2009 document with WikiLeaks. Then it just triggered something in my mind with the Rockefeller lockstep document that basically laid out future scenarios, you know, for our society. Lockstep being the one that really got everybody's attention because it mirrors basically exactly what happened with the pandemic, you know, talking about putting in disease surveillance, the countermeasures, going to have to stop the spread of misinformation. And this was years and years ago. I can't remember the exact date of that right now, but I think it was 2010-ish, 2009-ish, maybe a little bit later than that. But regardless, to your point, is these have been in place plan-wise for decades, and they've tried to instigate pandemics going clear back to the 70s with the swine flu and that vaccine that came out, right? And it paralyzed a bunch of people. They had to pull it off the market. They've been attempting to do the mRNA technology and getting that rolled out to the public. So people just need to realize that pandemics just aren't about a disease or a pandemic. It's about multiple agendas that are kind of coalescing and accomplishing things all at once. They had the biggest transfer of wealth in history during the so-called last pandemic, right? Everybody, 30% of small businesses were destroyed. It undermined the economy. And now they're trying to roll out this other new scare with the bird flu. I don't know if you've seen this recently with the cows basically saying that there's a potential that it could spread to humans. Some guy got pink eye, so now we got all panic. And, you know, this all kind of plays into this global health security agenda that we're seeing. And they're basically not going to stop until they get what they want, from what I can see. We just got to keep on speaking out about it and talking to each other about it. And calling out the BS lies that we're seeing basically on a daily basis.
Well, we also have to resist, and you have to make hard decisions. A lot of people bent the knee and made what they thought were the easy decisions. And guess what? They're becoming harder and harder with every single day in respects to their health and well-being. And that was the bottom line for me. You don't trust known liars, right? That's number one. And you talked about lockstep. One of the other things that people are kind of getting more aware of is that this same agenda intertwines with the climate change agenda, because they very openly talked about climate lockdowns, etc., you know, all these same things being bad for the earth. And actually, the climate agenda, if we don't stop it, it's going to cause more pandemics. So there was actually a thing in 2008, I believe it was, called Earth 2100. And it was either ABC or CBS, you know, don't quote me on this, nobody sue me, but it was a mainstream media outlet that ran this 2-hour special. And it was a news broadcast, and it was also a cartoon, basically depiction of this girl that had lived through 100 years, and we didn't stop climate change, okay? Now, intertwined with it, because it's a news broadcast, and it's like a 2020 thing, where Anthony Fauci, Eric Schmidt from Google, Van Jones, John Podesta, James Woolsey, ex-head of the CIA. It literally starts out with, "I survived a pandemic in the streets of New York in quarantine." And it shows empty streets in New York City and the people, you know, waving the stuff and doing it. And then 2 seconds later in California, and everybody's in a blue mask. And later on, Anthony Fauci tells everybody, you know, climate change is going to cause these global pandemics as well. You can't write this stuff. These criminals love to brag about what they're about to do, all right? And they act like the benevolent ones coming to save you from the very crisis they've helped to create. And that's not hyperbole. Again, you can look at the eco-health documentation that's already out there. And God bless Rand Paul for being the one guy that's really pushed to do something about that, eh?
Yeah, and if you go to my, I have a Substack called wethefree.substack.com. I wrote a 3-part series that I called Enter the Wuhan Clan, which basically goes into the history of these lab leaks and the documented history of this coronavirus research they've been doing over the years. You know, it's clear as day whenever you kind of look into it and understand the context and the history of all this going on. Daszak, Fauci's, they're all saying the same thing, speaking the same tune. They all had something to gain from this. No one's being prosecuted. It's about basically doing an end around power grab through the under the guise of climate change or health. It's always for our safety, right? We have to make sure that we're keeping everybody safe. Because God forbid you make your own choices and you live your own life, daddy government needs to come in and he needs to make sure everything's good. And that's what they're basically doing. It's just they know they can't achieve these things they want to achieve through legal means. So they always have to have a pretext, similar to 9/11, similar to every other major event we've seen in our lifetime, where we find out it's all lies, but look what happens afterwards. The plans that come into place and the agendas that come into place. 9/11 gave us the national security state we're still sitting in right now. It gave them the pretext to expand the bio labs all over the country. There's BSL 3 and 4 labs. People forget about this anthrax attack that happened right after there. And they basically sent anthrax to the senators who were going to vote against the Patriot Act. And once they sent the anthrax, they kind of fell in line and they voted to pass the Patriot Act, which basically...
And they also sent them to media outlets that were not reporting the right things as well. Let's not forget that.
Sending a message to them, which they took, duly noted, and then they passed that. It's the biggest abomination of legislation that's ever been passed, undermines...
And you know what? Let me stop you just because I forget to tell people this. The administration happened, I say the Bush administration, they were on Cipro, the anthrax medication prior to 9/11, just to let everybody know. So, you know, and the little letters that came with them is death to America, death to Israel, praise 9/11. But somehow the administration was on Cipro. Go ahead.
Yeah, they just wanted to make sure they were getting protected beforehand in case it would happen. So, and not to mention that it was found to be the Ames strain of anthrax, which is a highly refined, weaponized strain of anthrax only found in special labs, specifically in Ames, Iowa. They tried to frame their own guy who ended up committing suicide. And they also accused another gentleman. I can't remember his name, but then
he won in court. He won millions beforehand. I think it was, I don't want to say Hastings, but it was, yes, they accused another individual prior. He ended up suing the FBI for what they were trying to do to him, a frame up. And instead they put it on Bruce Ivins, who eventually killed himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course the lone wolf is always because there's no other, other person they can finger on it. It's always going to be one person that did it. That way there can be no other further close the book on it and it's good. So, I mean, we see these things repeating throughout history, especially recent history here, that we can actually remember and look back, and we have documentation for everything, but we have such a amnesic society. Whenever the fear comes in, everything goes out the window. We saw that with the pandemic. I was just so astounded by how people just gave up, basically, once the pandemic was rolled out and everybody was speaking the same tune on television and trying to create a panic and fear everywhere, and just rolled over and asked them to pet their belly. The entire world, basically, with the exclusion of maybe 25, 30% of us, right? 70%.
If you were lucky. But the bottom line is you really had to go to different places, and the bigger the fear, the bigger the rules, and the bigger the people just kind of bending the knee with them, the worse it was. That's why I got out of New York. Josh, we've run out of time. Let people know where they can find your stuff, brother.
Sure. I'm pretty active on X, so just at Josh Walkos there, and then you can go to my Substack and subscribe for free at wethefree.substack.com.
All right. Thank you for the great conversation and the information. We're going to take a quick break. More TNT Radio.live after this.
When the world's endangered animals need help most, when their lives are at greatest risk, when they would otherwise be lost, the International Fund for Animal Welfare is there, taking action to rescue the animals we love, to protect them and their threatened natural habitats. But the danger to animals the world over is growing, and the need for your help has never been more urgent. On land, you'll help stop poachers from threatening and killing elephants and big cats for the illegal wildlife trade. In the oceans, you'll help rescue dolphins, whales, and seals from deadly hazards. And you'll help rescue, rehabilitate, and release vulnerable animals when disasters strike. Here at home and around the world, we can't do this work without you. See how you can help animals and people thrive together at joinifall.org.
We come from a long line of farmers, and there's a sense of pride, but there's also a significant amount of pressure.
Farmers have to take care of their physical and their mental health, because what's a farm without a farmer?
Watching the sun come up, that's my time. I can have a cup of coffee, and every day is a new opportunity.
That's cool.
Your hands got so cool. Yay!
Don't forget to check in on yourself. Love your mind.
You're with Jason Burmis on today's News Talk,
TNT. And we are now joined by Dr. Ron Martinelli. He is a nationally renowned forensic criminologist and America's forensic expert. Dr. Ron, thank you so much for joining us. For those not familiar with this case in Arizona with this rancher Kelly, tell us about it.
Well, George Allen Kelly is a 74-year-old rancher, and he lives on a ranch several miles outside the town of Nogales, Arizona, in Santa Cruz County. Literally, he is right on the border on his 180-acre ranch. You can literally see the Trump wall from his residence and property. Santa Cruz County is the smallest and most impoverished county in the state of Arizona. And so back on the 30th of January of last year, Mrs. Kelly, who's also the same age, reported they were both inside the house. Mr. Kelly was having lunch. Mrs. Kelly saw several people carrying large backpacks and camouflage clothing, two of which were armed with long guns. She believed that they might be AK-47s. And she called Allen's attention to this. Allen came to the front window. He saw people moving parallel to the house. He saw that they were armed. He heard a shot fired. fired. But Mrs. Kelly didn't hear it because she has severe hearing problems. Alan told her to get down and to be quiet. He told her to get into the kitchen and call the Border Patrol ranch liaison officer. These are the Border Patrol in this county usually get to ranches before the sheriff's office does. And so reported shots fired, armed people trespassing on the property with large backpacks. Mr. Kelly and Mrs. Kelly subsequently believed these people were drug smugglers. Mr. Kelly believed he saw two different groups of people. He heard the shot fired in fear of his life and his wife's life. He grabbed his gun, which happened to be an AK-47, and went outside while his wife was still holding onto the phone. And at that time, and when he went outside, he said specifically that he slammed the iron security door to frighten the people. I've been to the ranch many times. I've actually slammed that door to hear what it sounds like. And I think from a distance, it could sound like almost like a gunshot, certainly a loud noise. Mr. Kelly said one of the people, as he was moving parallel on the east side of the ranch, about 100, 150 yards away, turned towards Mr. Kelly with the rifle pointing in his direction. Mr. Kelly said, "I fired warning shots, several warning shots, high up into the air in a south by southeasterly direction, not towards anybody, and way high up in the air." And he had done that once before when he had been shot at. And he said, just like in the first time, the people scattered and disappeared. So it's important to note that this is not the first time that armed trespassers and suspected drug smugglers have been on the property. As a matter of fact, several times, and on two prior occasions, they had actually shot at Mr. Kelly. Mr. Kelly has never fired back. On the time before this time, he again fired warning shots into the air. Mr. Kelly told me personally, as he did in law enforcement, "Listen, I'm not crazy. I'm not getting into a gunfight with cartel soldiers and drug smugglers. They'd come back and slaughter my wife and I at any time they wanted, kill my livestock, and burn my house to the ground." So this happened about 2:30 in the afternoon on a clear day. And of course, the police came out, the sheriff's office came out, Border Patrol came out. There were about eight officers. They searched the east and south sides of the ranch, relatively proximate to the house, and found nothing. Mr. Kelly went back inside the house after they left, finished making his lunch, took a nap, and at about 5:30, as is his custom every night, he went outside to check on his livestock, specifically a horse. And when he did that, he had his Labrador dogs with them. And he walked into the paddock area, which is over 100 yards from the house. And it's a fenced area. And his dogs went up a path and then stopped. Mr. Kelly couldn't call the dogs back, so he became curious, walked over to where the dogs were, and he found a dead body. This body, the victim here, subsequently identified as Gabriel Ludamilla, native of Mexico, had a single bullet hole in him, no bullet ever recovered, and within 40 minutes of law enforcement coming back out. By the way, he called, of course, law enforcement again. He called the sheriff's office. He called Border Patrol. There was a mix-up in communication between the two agencies. Anyway, law enforcement gets out there, specifically the sheriff's office, and in less than 45 minutes, Mr. Kelly found himself under arrest in handcuffs without any type of forensic interview, any type of walkthrough, what happened, no type of discussion like this. Mrs. Kelly found herself detained, placed in a patrol car, and in a locked prisoner compartment, basically a de facto arrest, and both were transported down to the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office where they were both interrogated. And within 2 hours of Mr. Kelly falling in, finding this dead body, he was advised that he was under arrest for first-degree homicide by Detective Ainza. Absolutely incredible set of circumstances.
And right now, that court case is actually going through. They have charged him with murder. And apparently there are eyewitnesses that say that he did murder this person?
Well, that's the interesting thing about it. So two things. Number one, the trial concluded today. All right. So both sides have rested. The defense rested. And within a couple of weeks, Mr. Kelly's charge had been changed by the county prosecutor from first degree murder to second degree murder with two counts of aggravated assault. Now, the people that came forward purportedly as witnesses of that, we have a convicted drug smuggler who has been deported 10 times. This is by his own admissions. By his own admissions and all of the evidence, he never told the sheriff's office, nor did they vet or check on him, that he had a different name. So he was first identified as Daniel Ruiz Rodriguez. So they called him DRR. He's actually a native of Honduras. And he had presented himself consistently through their investigation as Ramirez. We find out in checking his name is really Varela. And again, a convicted drug smuggler. So I think the first thing the audience needs to understand is that the Sinaloa cartel, which controls that area of the southern border, all the way from California to Texas, with its partner, Manos Malos, which is an organized crime ring working in conjunction with Sinaloa cartel. They do not allow independent drug smugglers. You know, that's how you get killed by the cartel. All right. They don't allow human trafficking, independent human traffickers. They don't allow gun runners, and they don't allow drug smugglers. So, you know, our belief on the defense team is that this person was definitely the so-called witness, was a member of this cartel, certainly had an association with them. That's number one. Number two, the second person that came forward, that as soon as he came forward, he went into the weeds and they've never found him again. This person's name, I believe, was Alex Rodriguez, also a convicted drug smuggler. And then he vanished. And they have not been able to recontact him. Another person that connected the DRR witness with law enforcement through Mr. Budimia's family, we find out in doing criminal records checks that he's a twice convicted felon, twice imprisoned, and one of his imprisonment charges was bringing weapons into the United States. So you might.
Listen, we only have a minute left in the segment. Basically, what you're telling me is these people should have been treated more like possible suspects than witnesses. Something really stinks here. What do you think the chances of a conviction are with this being concluded?
Okay, real quick. Number one, our hope is if the jury doesn't acquit Mr. Kelly, they will certainly have a hung jury. Listen, there has not been any, first of all, no forensic evidence whatsoever tying Mr. Kelly into the shooting. Okay, that's number one. Number two, none of the state's experts and law enforcement detectives have made any conclusive findings and opinions that tie Mr. Kelly directly into the shooting death of Budimia.
Well, I'll tell you this, we got to have you back on after we get to the conclusion. Thank you so much for joining us. We got to take a break when we come back. Second hour of the show, more TNT Radio Live after this.